I'd like to ask if you would to take God's Word and go with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 7th chapter, the Gospel according to Matthew and the 7th chapter. And during these summer months, on Sunday mornings, I intend with the help of God and by His leading and direction to preach to you concerning the matter of the home. The Christian home. And we understand that to have a Christian home, you must have Christians in it. But the fact that you have Christians in it does not necessarily mean that it is Christian. Because Christians can act as oftentimes unbelievers. And we can base our lives and our homes not on the Word of God, but upon our own selfishness and our own lusts. And we see that in our nation, the home is under attack. The key to the nation is the family. And Satan has aimed his heavy artillery at the family in this hour. And I want us to find, if you would please, Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 24. The Lord Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. The Lord said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Build your house upon the rock. Build your house upon the rock. There's an article that was in the Wall Street Journal this past week, and it's not my habit to read the Wall Street Journal. Very little in there that I have to be concerned with. I'm sure it would be a good habit to have, but it's not my habit. But I came across an article that was printed in the Wall Street Journal, written by Nancy Keats, just this past Friday. She writes, "There's a dramatic scene currently underway on Martha's Vineyard. To keep their 8,300 square foot home from plunging off an eroding bluff, the owners are moving it back 275 feet. The estimated cost, at least $1 million. The stone and wood shingled house built in 2004 has 7 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, and a massive basement with a bowling alley, according to public records. All of that plus an 1,800 square foot guest house and a 4-car garage is going. Much of it to the 4-acre property next door that the owners bought in January for $4.5 million. The move involves digging underneath the basement, moving the structure through a trench, and then refilling the hole with soil. Still, that pales in comparison to what the house cost to build. The current appraised value of the buildings and the land is $7.6 million. But the contractors put the cost of rebuilding the main house alone at $10 million. Another article in the Martha's Vineyard Times, which I subscribe to, where my guest house and my vacation home is. It was written by Steve Myrick on March 6th. In his article, Mr. Myrick, speaking of the house, said, moving the main house will require transporting the entire structure, including the basement, intact. Richard Lohr, president of the International Chimney Corporation, I think that's amusing, a chimney guy is involved in this. He told the planning board that the most efficient way to do that is not to raise the building, but to dig an enormous trench to the new location, somebody's calling, and transport the building through the trench. Engineers estimated that will mean removing 33,000 cubic yards of material, requiring as many as 2,000 truck trips to a storage site 2 miles away, then transporting it back when the move is completed. The article in the Wall Street Journal is entitled, Moving Heaven and Earth for a House. I want you to imagine this. Some years ago, this family built a house on the coast at Martha's Vineyard. An 8,300 square foot home, sitting on a basement with a bowling alley in it. And what they've noticed over the past few years is that the beach is eroding. The land that their house sits on, their dream home is sitting on, is literally falling into the ocean. One of the buildings was only 24 feet from falling into the sea. And so this plan is hatched to move all of the houses back. He bought a piece of property for $4.5 million so that he could move his houses back. It's going to cost $1 million to move this massive home, 8,300 square foot home, and they're moving it with the basement under it. So how do you do it? They dig out all of the sand and all of the soil around this house, and they created a huge crater. And they're going to move this house and its basement. It's going to cost $1 million. It costs $4.5 million to buy the property. It's going to cost them another $1 million to move it. As I mentioned ago, 2,000 trips with a dump truck moving that dirt. They really are moving heaven and earth nearly to get this house settled. They could say, well, we'll tear it down and rebuild another one. But they said to rebuild the same house would be $10 million. So the decision was made to try to move all of this earth to keep this house. Keep their dream house. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Can you imagine building your dream house and then watching it fall into the sea? But you know that's what's happening all across our country. Homes are falling into the waters. They're eroding. Their foundations are crumbling. The foundation of our nation, the foundations that this nation was built upon, are crumbling all around us. And the foundations that our homes and our lives are built upon in this nation are crumbling all around us. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we see that our nation is under attack, and the sea of sin and wickedness is eating away, and the shifting sands are beginning to fall into the waters, and we're watching home after home after home after home falling away, falling into the sea. And the unfortunate thing, not only is that those homes are falling into the sea, but that we see many so-called Christian homes that are falling away. And the Lord Jesus said, I want you to build your house, but I want you to be careful where you build it. You don't need to build your house on the sand. I want to invite you to build your house on the rock. By the way, He is the rock, is He not? He's the chief cornerstone. And may I say to you that if you build your house on Him, your house will stand when nothing else stands. And I want to encourage all the families in our church to build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage all the single people in our church to build their lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage the couples who are struggling in their marriage at this very moment, this morning, to resolve to build your house on Jesus. I want to encourage those who have suffered some bitter sorrow in their married lives and are going through or have gone through the bitter experience of divorce. I want to encourage you from this point forward, seek God and allow God to build something glorious in your life. But build it on the right foundation. Build it on Jesus Christ. Here's the story of two individuals, two men, two fathers, two husbands, or perhaps we could say two ladies, two mothers, two wives. One built their house on the rock and the other on the sand. The rain came on both homes and one stood while the other failed. In our society today, half of all marriages are ending in divorce. 70% of all of the college students in our public universities tell pollsters they do not any longer see the need for marriage. We see the proliferation of all types of perversion in our society. May God in heaven help us. The foundations are crumbling. But yours doesn't have to. Your home doesn't have to fall. Your home can stand as a shining example of God's grace. I want you to notice some things in this text, and I hope you'll write them down. And I'm praying the Lord by His Spirit would speak to our hearts as we think about building our house upon the rock. First of all, number one, build your house on a solid foundation. Build your house on a solid foundation. The Lord Jesus said in verse number 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." The Lord Jesus, throughout Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter number 7, has been preaching a tremendous sermon that is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, He is giving the truths for the kingdom. He is giving His commands for the kingdom. He is helping people to understand what God's plan is for their lives and how God desires to bless them. And if they will simply heed what God has to say to them, God will bless them in a mighty way. Because the storms are coming. And when the storms come, your house will stand if you build on a solid foundation. There are two things to note here as we think about building our house on a solid foundation. Number one, we must hear the Word. Number two, we must heed the Word. I want us to think about this fact, first of all, of hearing the Word. Notice what the Lord Jesus said again. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." You think about the sayings of Christ. And the sayings of the Lord Jesus are the sayings of God. John chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The Bible, speaking of the Lord Jesus, says this, that He is the Word. He is the physical presence of the Word. Jesus Christ is the expression of the Word. The Word of God is the Word of Jesus Christ. They're synonymous. They're one and the same. And so when we pick up our Bible and we read the Scripture, we need to understand who the author is. And the Bible tells us that the author in John chapter number 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And as the Word, He desires to speak to us. He said, "If anyone heareth these sayings of mine." The Lord Jesus wants to speak to you. Are you listening? I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 1, if you would please, in the Old Testament. And I want you to hold your place there because we're going to look in just a minute in the book of Deuteronomy. But in Proverbs chapter number 1, the very beginning of this book of Proverbs, Solomon writes in verse number 5, a wise man will, what's the next word? A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Notice verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, what's the next word? Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Do you know what God is saying to us today? Do you know what God wants to say to you this morning? Do you know what God wants to say to all the fathers and the husbands and to the wives and to the mothers and to the grandfathers and the grandmothers and to the saints of God and to the aunts and to the uncles and to the children and to the young people who desire to have a home someday? Do you know what God wants you to do this morning? He wants you to hear Him. He wants you to listen. The Bible said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord has to say. And may God help us in this hour in which we live to begin to tune in to what God has to say. So oftentimes we're prone to listen when we think about our marriage relationship and our family and what our goals are for our home and what our relationship should be like with our wife or with our children. We're so prone to listen to what the world has to say to us. We're so prone to have the goals that the world tells us to have. But God said, listen, forget all of that. That's all shifting sand. I want you to listen to what I have to say. God is the author of life. He ordained the home. And He has for us the solid foundation upon which we are to build our lives. And may the Lord in heaven help us. But God has been removed from our society. He's been removed from the public arena. Worse yet, we've removed Him from our homes. While we lament the absence of prayer in our schools and in our public events, we oftentimes don't pray in our homes, do we? We give our children the things that the world tells us that they need, but we don't give them the things that God tells us they need. We make time for their ball games, their music lessons, their parties, their activities, their friends. But we got no time for the Lord. No time to pray. No time to gather around as a family, around the Bible. We let them spend hours in front of a TV screen, a computer screen, a tablet screen, or with a smartphone in their hand. But we don't allow them any time to spend with God in God's Word. And do you know what we're doing? We're building our house. But we're not building it on a sure foundation. God said, you can choose. By the way, there were two men. They both heard. One built his house on the rock. The other built his house on the sand. You can choose how to build. You can choose where to build. God said, listen. Hear what I have to say. But not only do we understand that we are to hear what He has to say, we understand that we are to heed what He has to say. You see, because He doesn't stop with the fact in Matthew chapter 7 that we are to hear His words or that we are to simply hear His sayings, but we are to do them. Notice again verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house on the rock. You know, oftentimes as believers, we can think, well, I'm building my house on the rock, and I'll tell you why I'm building it, because I go to church and I hear what God has to say. Oh, no. We're not building on the solid foundation unless we are heeding what God has to say. You know, there's such a spirit in and among Christians in our generation today, where we hear God's voice, but we don't heed it. We hear it, and we agree with it, but we don't heed it. Now, I want to tell you, that's a very dangerous ground to be on, is it not? That's very dangerous ground to be on. We are to heed the word. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. The Bible said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Well, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. I go to church. I tithe. But there's no intention to live the Christian life. There's no intention to honor God in our homes. There's no intention to lead our children to know the true and the living God. We just live like the rest of the world lives. And we deceive our own selves when we do that. When we don't build on the solid foundation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, 'I know Him,' and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. He that saith, 'He abideth in Him,' ought himself also to walk, even as He walked." What is the Bible saying to us? What is God saying to us in 1 John chapter number 2? He's saying this: "You may profess to know me." By the way, he said there'll be many who said, "Lord, we know you." He said, "You may profess to know me, but if you have no intention, no thought, no desire of ever doing anything that I tell you to do, then I want you to understand something. You don't know me." Many preachers speculate on percentages of Christians in churches who are unsaved. I have no idea if those percentages are accurate. None. But this I know. I know that everybody who claims to be a Christian isn't. If you'd sat in the seat I've sat in, you would understand that you deal with people who, they talk a good game, but they have no intention of ever living it. Friend, I want to tell you that God said it's not enough to hear my word. You have to heed it. You have to do it. If you don't do it, if you don't heed it, then truthfully, in truth, you've never heard it. We are to build our lives. We are to build our homes, not on the shifting sands. We are to build our lives on the word of God. Moses was leading the people of Israel and he'd come to the place where he could go no further. Because if you remember, Moses smote the rock when God said, "Speak to it." And God said to Moses, he said, "You're not going in. You're not going into the land. Joshua was going to lead them." But before Moses left this earth, God led him to pen the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second giving of the law. It means, I want to remind you again what the law says. And I want you to look with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Because the Lord is addressing a nation here. He is addressing His people, Israel, the people that He delivered with a strong and mighty hand. He's addressing this nation, but He's also more intimately addressing the homes, the families of Israel. Because as the family goes, so goes the nation. That's why this battle in our nation for the home and for the definition of marriage is such an important battle. It's an important battle. The Bible tells us here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel." Listen up, he has to say. "Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Notice, if you would, verse number 5. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What is God saying? He's saying, I got a message for you families as you're going into the land to possess the land of Canaan that I've prepared for you, that when you get there, you don't just hear what I have to say, but you do what I have to say so that you might live, so that you might dwell in the land. Listen, Jesus Christ came to give us life, and He wants us to live that life more abundantly. He wants you to have a happy home. He wants you to have a Christian home. He wants you to have a wonderful marriage. He wants you to have a wonderful relationship with your children. He wants you children to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him and to grow up to bring glory and honor to Him. He wants to use your home as a testimony, as a display case of His glory, so that all the neighbors and all the friends who are unsaved will look at you and say, those people have something that I don't have. They have a God that I need to know. That's what God desires to do in your home and through your life. And God can do it if you'll hear Him and if you'll heed to Him. Build your house on a solid foundation. Let me give you a second thing. Build your house with a steadfast faith. Build your house with a steadfast faith. The Bible said in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 7, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. The Bible tells us again in verse 27, speaking of the house built on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. You know what's going to happen? The Lord knows what's going to happen, and He's warning us. He said the rains are coming. The winds are going to blow. The floodwaters are going to gather. And you in your house are going to be touched by those storms. But if your house is built on the rock, your house won't fall. You see, we need to remain steadfast in our faith. Why do people build on the sand? Do you ever think about that? Well, first of all, wouldn't you think the sand's just more appealing? I mean, why do you think people pay millions to live along the coast on the sandy soil? It's just appealing to be by the water, to be by the ocean. It's appealing. It's appealing to the flesh. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6, when the Lord was in a parallel passage talking about building on the rock, He talked about the fact you had to dig down in the rock. You had to dig down in it. Let me ask you, what's easier to dig in? Bedrock or sand? No doubt about it. Sand. You see, the sand just seems more appealing, and the sand just seems more convenient, and the sand just seems like it's just so easy to build upon. And it appeals to our flesh. The sand represents our self-will. Not what God wants, but what we want. Sand represents self-fulfillment. I can make it happen. I can make my dreams come true. Sand represents self-purpose and self-sufficiency and self-satisfaction and self-righteousness. And we like to build our houses on the sand. And oftentimes when the storm comes, we start looking out at the sand. And it looks sunny out there. And it looks nice out there. And it's warm out there. That's why we all like to go to the coast for vacation. It's warm there, and we can be refreshed, and we have the sunshine. It's just easier to build on the sand. When the storms come, we want to head to the sand. I think about Lot. Do you think about him? You ever really think about Lot? You know, Lot's story is as relevant today as it ever was. Lot said, Abraham, I've been walking with you for all these years. I followed you from Ur of the Chaldees. We've been across this land two or three times. We've been down to Egypt. I mean, we keep building these altars and we keep sacrificing and we keep just, you know, trying to work at it and follow God every day. But nothing's really happening here. I think I'm going to head over to the sandy shores of Sodom. Don't go, Lot. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Uncle Abraham. There's opportunities down there for my kids. There's opportunities down there for my family. There's opportunities down there for my business. It'll be very successful. I think we're heading down. Don't go. Don't go, Lot. Oh, no, I'm going. And so off he goes. And he hadn't been there very long. And then what happens? There's an invasion from a group of kings. And they carry Lot and his family away captive. His foundation is beginning to crumble. He's built it on the shifting sands, and now the storms are beginning to rage on Lot's home. But God in mercy sends Abraham and his men, and they go and rescue Lot, and they bring them to safety. And they gather there with Melchizedek, the high priest. And no doubt Abraham is rejoicing that Lot is home. But can you imagine the disappointment and the heartache in his face when Lot says, thank you, Abraham, but we're heading back to Sodom. What? You're going where? Well, we like the sandy shores of Sodom. Wait a minute. Lot, you were just carried away. God is sending you a message. God is warning you. You're about to lose your home. You're about to lose your family. Why don't you come and stay with us? Build your house on the rock. No. We're heading back to Sodom. And off he goes. And you know the story. Genesis chapter 19. He lost it all, didn't he? His wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. He left some daughters and sons-in-laws, and no doubt some grandchildren there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And all he brought out of there were two daughters who were filled with the philosophies of Sodom and Gomorrah. He built his house on the shifting sand. Oh, there was a time he was on the rock. There was a time. But when the storms came, his faith wasn't steadfast. He said, I think I'll head down there. I think the dividends are higher. I think the opportunities are greater. There's no God down there, Lot. Those people are wicked, Lot. I think I'll be okay. And off he went. And you know, family after family, father after father, has decided, hey, wait a minute, I've had enough of this Bible stuff. I've had enough of this church. I've had enough of this Christian stuff. I want to live like the world. And they head down to Sodom. And they build their house on the shifting sands. And what happens when you build your house on the shifting sand? The Lord said in verse number 27, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And would you read those closing words with me in verse 27? And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. God does not desire for your house to fall. He desires for your home to flourish. But you have to build on the right foundation. You build your home on a solid foundation. You build your house with a steadfast faith. And let me give you this third thing and we close. You build your house for a sure future. A sure future. That's what God desires for you. The Bible says, again in verse number 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Speaking of the house that was built on the rock. And the Bible said, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Storms came to both homes. The house on the sand fell, and great was the fall of it. But the house on the rock, it did not fall. It was founded on the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 4, in this passage I read to you a moment ago, as we come to the concluding part of that fourth chapter, Moses, as he continues, said this to the people of Israel. He said, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven and upon earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever." Do you know what God said He wanted to do? He wanted to establish their houses forever. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 29, the Lord here speaking to Moses said, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them," speaking of the people. "Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Oftentimes people talk about their dream home. I mentioned a moment ago about this couple in Martha's Vineyard building their dream home. And we think about all that goes into what our dream home would be. But do you know that God has a dream home for you? You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah, the Lord said, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of pleasantness and peace to bring you to an expected end." You know what that means? That means God thinks about us. That means that God loves us and He thinks about us, and that God has a desire for us. I mean, God here in a very intimate way in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 29 is sharing with His servant Moses what His true heart's desire is for His people. As a friend would speak to a friend. As a man would speak to a man, he said, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them. Oh, that they would love me. Oh, that they would fear me. Oh, that they would keep my commandments." Why? That it might be well with them. That they might have a certain sure marriage. That they might experience the blessing of having a Christian home. That their children would grow up and know God and serve God with their lives. That's what God desires for all of us. And the Lord said, "You can have it if you build your house on the rock." In Matthew chapter 7, as the people listened to Jesus and they heard His sayings and His teachings, the Bible said in verse 28, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Here's what I want you to hear this morning. God has a plan for your life. This plan that He has for you is so great, it's beyond our human comprehension. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your home. God wants to bless your relationships. God wants to bless your children. God wants to do a mighty work in your life. That's His desire. And He is telling you how to experience it. He's saying to you, hear these things, heed these things, and your house will stand. And as they listened, the Bible said they were astonished. They were awakened. They were stirred. And the Bible said He taught them as one having authority. You know, we listen to different authorities, don't we? We listen to the so-called experts. We listen to the pundits. We listen to our friends. We listen to each other. God said, "This is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him." Would you bow with me in prayer? And let's just sit quietly there in our seats. Let's don't pack up yet. Would you pray that God would speak to you? Would you pray that God would help you to be in tune with Him? Would you say to Him this morning, I want to hear Your voice, and Lord, I want to heed it. Some of you may be like me. We desire to heed God's voice, but we fail in heeding it. Do you know that God knows that we're going to fail? That's why we need a Savior. That's why He's given us His Word to guide us and the Holy Spirit to empower us. That's why He offers forgiveness to us when we do stumble, when we do sin. And He says to us, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then He said that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God does not expect that you're going to live a perfect life, but God expects that you are going to hear Him and that by His grace, you're going to heed what He has to say.